I'm joined today by Darren Hill, MD of Positive, and Gareth Hughes, Golug's Assembly correspondent. We're here today to discuss the biggest issues leading up to the election on May the 5th. The big issue today is obviously the Assembly's recall to debate Tata Steel. What do you make of this, Darren?
Well, it feels to me like the Assembly has to be recalled. There seem to be quite a lot of cross-party consensus, quite a lot of cross-party demands last week that it should be so. But I've always been nervous of the Assembly appearing as a talking shop. And what I'm hoping will happen when they reconvene later today is that actually they'll debate something of substance within the First Minister's statement. If it's just a repackaging of an article that he produced for The Independent over the weekend, or the social media commentary that's come out from Welsh Government over the last week, then I'd be sitting there scratching my head wondering what was the point of it all.
Gareth, so close to an election, is there a risk that this debate will just be about point scoring and not go any kind of measurable way to tackling this issue?
Well, it has been about point scoring up to now, and they're all saying, well, the government should have done this, the government should have done that, and that is the Welsh Government. It's difficult to see what they could do, really. I mean, so they can actually provide some support in training, maybe some packages, they could have done something about business rates. But these are very, very small fry compared to the big issues that are involved in steel. And I share Darren's point of view. I think politicians, as a breed, always like to say, yes, let's meet and let's talk, knowing full well they can't do much about it. And this morning is classic. There's a series of press conferences by the opposition parties, all saying that the Welsh Assembly government should have done this, should have done that. But you know full well that, you know, it's electioneering. Mm-hmm.
But building on that, though, I would expect to hear something a bit more proactive out of Welsh Government than I've heard over the last few days. Because it seemed to me when I read Calwyn Jones's well-written, well-structured, well-argued article in The Independent that he was essentially pointing the finger at the UK government. Mm. So he's playing exactly the same sort of game that the opposition parties are playing at an Assembly level. I genuinely would expect and hope for a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I think the real issue is here, and it's either you're in favour of globalisation, which I suppose the Westminster government is, and it's been caught short by it, or you actually say, well, yes, let's do something substantial about it, and the only answer really, if you want to have an indigenous steel industry, when there are no buyers out there, the government has to step in and buy, just as it did in the banks. Now, I don't suppose for one minute that that's going to happen, but that's what should be happening.
Yeah, there's a clear role, I think, for both governments to step in some way or another, not least in terms of encouraging the purchase of steel. And I thought that was an interesting point from Sajid Javid yesterday, when he talked about the UK government actually asking those who are doing public sector contracts to purchase steel. There are things that can be done by the Welsh Government too. They could bring forward major capital investment that was reliant on the use of Welsh steel. I think there are steps like that that do fall short of taking it into public ownership, which would be a huge expense, an enormous risk for the public purse, but in terms of stimulating the supply chain and stimulating the market for steel, I do think more can be done at both ends of the M4.
I think Vilts Cable actually came up with a very practical suggestion which would help considerably, and that's dealing with the pension funds of the steel industry, because that is making a fantastically large loss, and whoever buys Tata Steel would have to put substantial sums of money into that to actually keep it going. Now, that, I think, is a real deterrent on any private sector involvement. So what the government could do is actually take over that pension scheme, just as they have done before with the post office, I believe.
Yeah.
They could do that with steel. And that would be something short of nationalisation of the industry itself that government in Westminster could do.
And would be providing security to people who've worked many decades in a hard industry doing a hard job as well.
Yep.
So the other issue that's being really played out with the debate over steel and Tata is the EU referendum. Obviously, we're very close to it. An election isn't that far away from the referendum itself. I think there's been a lot of debate over whether the EU has helped or hindered the steel industry. Do you think that that's going to come to the fore today?
Well, I think that with this being such a politically charged European environment, that both sides will be using whatever evidence they can to further their own cause. I read an article by Boris Johnson in one of the newspapers this morning in which he basically blamed the whole of the situation facing the British steel industry against the European Union. Unfortunately, we're moving out of the world of shades of grey, aren't we? Everything's black and white when it comes to the EU. I've never known a greyer institution in my life. I think it's impossible, personally, to see it in anything other than greyness. But it seems to be our politicians and those leading the Stay In or the Come Out campaigns want to paint it either as a group of angels or a group of devils.
Yeah, I think it does actually, I think, put a finger on something there. Most of us are not at all sure what powers the European Union had on steel or not. Yeah. You know, we hear that maybe, you know, that there could have been more tariffs and the UK government stopped the European Union raising tariffs. But it does actually highlight something which I'm very conscious of. I know very little about what's happening in Europe, and none of us do, you know, and it is an important institution, as we all know, and we're debating our future in it, and yet we know nothing about it.
Absolutely, moving beyond the easy, glib headlines, and I think all of us involved in politics are a little bit guilty around that as well. It's not just the European Union and the institutions there. I think we've all played along with platitudes too. I think it's much more certain that there'll be repercussions for the UK government, though, around the relationship with China. Something they really bigged up in the last few months after those visits, the courting that went on, the attitude of the Chancellor of the Exchequer, all around that, really bigged up that as if it was almost our second special relationship. We're seeing the consequences of that, because you know you can debate over the culpability of the European Union when it comes to steel. But I think there is no debate that the mass production and the glut of the market coming out of China, of which, you know, we're probably scratching 1-3% of the steel production of China, is the real impact on the industry as a whole.
Yeah, and it's a strange kind of philosophy, isn't it, that you actually use the Chinese capital, state money, to actually fund state developments in the UK, like Wilva, you know, using state money. Now, what's the ideology behind that? You know, if you're a free marketer, what the hell are you using state money for? You know, it's absolute bloody nonsense.
It's the most successful communist capitalist economy that's ever been.
Exactly.
So the other big issue that's come to the fore today is the publication of the Wales Governance Centre's Government Expenditure and Review for Wales. Now, this has found that there's a deficit of £14.7 billion for Wales, or a gap of 23.9% of our GDP. Surely this has got to be a big issue for the next Assembly.
Well, certainly the political parties will make it a big issue. Obviously, I've noticed this morning that the Conservatives have produced a press notice saying what a terrible thing it is that this big deficit has occurred, and this occurred on the Carwyn Jones's watch, and you know, the usual barbook of politics. And I would suspect all the other opposition parties will. But there is a fact about Wales that we should actually always acknowledge, and that is Wales is poor.
Yeah.
You know, and you would expect there to be a gap between what we, the revenue and the expenditure, because that would happen in any poor region in any country. Now, there could be a debate about the size of that gap. Maybe the government could have done more, or maybe they could have done less. I don't know, you know, but that is the nature of politics and political debate. But undoubtedly, if you live in a poor region, in a poor, and that's why we get such large funds from the EC, because we are a poor region. So that gap will be there. Now, it does rate report raises a couple of issues that are really important, though, I think, with the transfer of tax raising powers to the Assembly. It does show now that, you know, the political debate will move on to should we raise taxes, shouldn't we, and that will be the nature of the debate. To bridge partially that gap, but you'll never eliminate that gap.
It struck me, looking at some of the figures, I've gone into this immense report in a huge amount of detail, but two things leapt out to me. The first one was that actually the deficit this year compared to some other years in the past isn't actually that bad.
No.
That the gap is actually narrowing. Now, for the Conservatives to stand up and shout, this is all happening under Carolyn Jones's watch, I think it's somewhat disingenuous in that case, if the gap is getting less. But the second thing that I really didn't expect was the breakdown in terms of where that public expenditure came from. 53% of it in the last year has been spent by the Welsh Government, 47% by the UK Government. Now, why do I make this point? Why does it surprise me? Because if you look at most of the day-to-day services that people receive, they're funded through Welsh Government. I would have anticipated a sort of two-thirds, one-third split, if I'm honest with you, in terms of where that public expenditure came from. 47% from the UK Government. Yeah, there's defence, there's foreign affairs, there's servicing the national debt. But there is an enormous chunk of about 14 billion of it that's being spent on welfare and social security. And if you really want to see why we're in the deficit, I think you need to examine that part of the budget quite clearly.
It is about poverty again.
Yes.
The other issue this report raises is whether with tax devolution, the taxes we are going to see come to Wales are going to be able to be leveraged to increase revenue. So you're seeing taxes like VAT, for example, that really could increase revenue, not being devolved to Wales. Do we need to look again at these taxes?
Well, I think so. I'm going to say, you know, as you rightly point out, the report says these are static, you know, the revenue from the taxes, if we were to implement them, is very static and perhaps declining. And it does reflect that kind of, you know, the poverty and the lack of activity that's going on in Wales. But what I think the essence of this report does point out to me is that we're debating it now. And why are we debating it now? Because we haven't had a clue what was happening in terms of public finances in Wales for a very, very long time. And this report, you know, if it does nothing else but says, you know, we need better stats so that we can actually debate properly. And actually, you know, it is that the solution to many Welsh problems starts with actually knowing what the problems are. If you don't know what the problems are, you can't do anything about it.
Indeed. And what does surprise me a little is that it's taken an independent think tank, an independent academic institution, to do this analysis. We've been told for the last few years that within the Welsh Government, they're building up a treasury function to get ready for the management of tax systems. Surely this sort of analysis in this level of detail is something that should have come from within the Welsh Government and the statistical agencies attached to the Welsh Government as well. It seems very bizarre to me that the Welsh Government is stepping into this space without these sort of hard and fast real terms figures to support its own objectives and ambitions.
Should have started with devolution. It started in Scotland with devolution. It started in Northern Ireland with devolution.
But there was no need, you know, I understand why it didn't, because for the first 10 years we were awash with money down here. Every year there were massive budget increases. It never really mattered how you balance these things off. And essentially we've ended up, once the days of plenty are over, then you do have to start looking at the balance sheets. But it's still taken them a good 5 years since then.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed, Darren and Gareth. Let us know what you think on the hashtag IWA podcast and join us next week for another election special.